Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's up, Scaredy Cats? We hope you guys are having an amazing day today. Our names are Sway and Liz, and we'd love to welcome you to the Scaredy Cats podcast, where we talk about all things scary, such as true crime, the paranormal, dark history, conspiracy theories, and so much more. If you find any of those interesting, all you have to do is add us to your favorites, sit back, grab some snacks, and relax as we talk about some of the most bone-chilling and mysterious stories on planet Earth.
We also review the latest scary movies, and also, if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, feel free to send those in at our social media pages, at the Scaredy Cats, and at Scaredy Cats with the K. Also, if you would love to work or collaborate with us, send us an email in the description of this episode. But before we start, we do want to get some things out of the way. First of all, we want to ask you guys to send in some scary stories that has happened to you, more specifically like paranormal stories. Mm-hmm. We do want to do an episode here on the Scaredy Cats where we talk about our fans' scariest stories. Mm-hmm. We feel like that would be an interesting episode.
Yes, and we would like absolutely love to read your guys' stories, because I feel like we've already set our own. So I would love to hear so much more, because I'm pretty sure, you know, 9 times out of 10, somebody has a paranormal story that's happened to them.
Yeah, and every time we do some sort of like storytelling, personal storytelling episodes, they always do really good on here. You guys seem to love those. So, I mean, if you guys want us to do a part two of some scary experiences that we have had in our personal lives, we can do that as well. But we definitely want to do one on you guys.
Mm-hmm. But on another note, next Wednesday, we will be actually doing the Exorcist review, because it is come out this Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. It comes out this Friday.
Man, my dad from Sippin' 2 and Joe and Marie, you know, we've done like the murder mystery series with them. He actually said that he doesn't want to watch it because he's still scarred from the first original movie.
I will tell you this. Yeah. The first movie, I could not get through it. I only watched at least 30 to 40 minutes of it. I couldn't get through it. It was just so like traumatizing to look at, like the scenes were so crazy. And then knowing later on in life what I was watching, and then this was supposedly said like actually to be a cursed movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, like I'm scared that I watched that. When we went to go see The Nun 2, which we did a review on already as well, they put the trailer and like, I was looking away, guys. Yeah. I was closing my eyes. I was telling Lisette, I'm like, I'm not going to look at this.
I was like trying to force myself to like uncover my eyes, but I was like having such a hard time because I kept hearing the voices and stuff, like they just sound so creepy. So definitely stay tuned for that review, because I don't know who else is gonna watch it, but I definitely want to watch it mainly for you guys.
Definitely stay tuned. But today we're going to be talking about something that I came across on TikTok and Facebook. Actually, it was an article that someone shared, and it was titled "The Violent History of Pumpkin Spice Lattes." And as you read the title of this episode, we're going to be diving just into that, because the information that I found and going down the rabbit hole was insane, and I'm sure you guys are going to be shocked. But hey, I'm not trying to ruin anybody's, you know, PSL season. Okay, personally, I'm still gonna go and like get my pumpkin spice latte, because I've been doing it summer, spring, literally, even during winter, guys.
It's his signature, it's like, drink basically.
Literally, there's this coffee shop in our main street that does it all year round. Yeah. The only place that I've been able to find that does it all year round. So that's like my go-to coffee. Like I can't get tired of it. It just tastes so good.
And what I love is when, because I don't drink coffee, guys, but I love the foam. So every time he gets it, I get to drink the foam. So I get a little bit of pumpkin spice every day.
So good.
All times of the year.
It has to be the best coffee for me personally. But we all know that on August 4th or the 5th, Starbucks releases their beloved fall menu, which includes the infamous pumpkin spice latte, the pumpkin cold brew, and tons of other fall flavored drinks. But not everyone is happy about this. We're going to be going back to 2014, when Starbucks pumpkin spice latte was called an atrocious brown liquid with slight parts of dairy, full of diabetes, served in a paper cup and chugged down by the litter, referring to us as human as litter, because we're just like soaking this in, which is harsh.
Yeah, that is a really harsh thing to say. I'm like low-key offended. To some people, it's still the atrocious brown liquid, but to me, it is, you know, a cup full of delight.
But in this story, we're actually going to just stay focused on Starbucks itself, because later on, you'll find out that Starbucks was the first, basically, coffee chain to take out a pumpkin spice latte. So we're just going to be focusing on Starbucks. But all the success seemed to overshadow the hate, because in 2015, the Starbucks pumpkin spice latte sold over 200 million lattes worldwide.
That's insane.
From August to November, the PSL alone made $100 million in revenue, making it the top-selling drink in history. And fun fact, Starbucks was actually, like we said, the first ever coffee chain to sell a pumpkin spice latte, which was back in 2002 when a few Starbucks employees experimented with a slice of pumpkin pie and a shot of espresso and mixing it together. And this is where this Delight PSL came to be.
That's kind of innovative. Like, I wonder what made him think, like, hey, this pumpkin pie slice plus this espresso, let's just try it.
Yeah.
Like, what were they thinking? But hey, we were only two at the time. Yeah, that's crazy. I honestly, personally, I didn't start getting pumpkin drinks until I was probably like a junior.
Yeah, but she was nothing but pumpkin pie.
Yeah, pumpkin pie is my thing. When we first got together, he would buy me a pumpkin pie all the time. And
every weekend.
Yeah, every weekend. And guys, I can sit and eat a whole pumpkin pie to myself without sharing. It's just it's my thing. I love pumpkin. But I didn't start trying, you know, PSLs until probably sophomore year, maybe junior.
Yeah. And one thing, when I was researching about this, I want to know if these employees got a share in Starbucks.
Oh, I hope
so. Or some sort of big raise.
Hey, I'd rather them get it.
They made the top selling drink in Starbucks history.
Well, 100 million, right?
Well, not only Starbucks history, it's the top selling coffee
during
even
fall,
when it's just during its fall, 3-4 months, it made the most money out of compared to every other coffee that's
crazy.
Like year round.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's just insane how many people are addicted to this flavor, because almost everybody waits for this time of year for these drinks to be released.
Yeah.
But although pumpkin spice lattes are loved worldwide by many, the dark history as to how this drink was able to be created is kind of dark. From murder to slavery today, you are going to be hearing it all. It all starts with nutmeg. The spice nutmeg most people in the United States are familiar with originates in the Banda Islands, which is now known as Indonesia. Back in the Middle Ages, the Bandas became very wealthy, trading nutmeg and clove, and most of the consumers were the elites of China and the European. These elites kept the location of where they would buy these spices from a secret, but that secret didn't hold for long, because in the year of 1511, which 1511 sounds, that's a long, long time ago.
That is a long time ago.
A Portuguese explorer was one of the first Europeans to land in the Banda Islands and had the power over the spices for 100 years, which is a long time. But the Banda wanted to gain more control over them, but that's until 1599, when the Dutch arrived to the islands and murdered dozens of Bandanese. The Dutch ended up taking over the islands and threatened the Banda people that they could never trade with anyone but them. The Bandanese had signed contracts and other treaties agreeing that they would still decide to go against it and had partnered with the Englishmen to trade nutmeg and clove. And honestly, guys, nutmeg and clove are my favorite spices to bake with, definitely, of course, during this time of year. So it's just crazy to think about certain spices have so much history behind them.
It is pretty crazy. But this would then lead to a bloodbath. In 1621, the Dutch governor led over 2,000 troops in the Banda Islands, and tons of the Bandanese people were beheaded, hung, and even tortured to the point where they would tie ropes on both legs and on their bodies, and then they would just stretch them apart.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah,
the Dutch
would then capture the wealthier people of the island, and they were taken up to the mountain where they would face three kinds of deaths. Some of the leaders were tied up and would be murdered in a Dutch attack where 12 or more troops would stab and beat the person to death. The second death was then being tied up on top of a tree and starved to death, or, you know, just let some sort of animal come and eat you. And lastly, the Dutch would tie up people and throw them off the mountains, obviously resulting in their death.
That's so
all
horrible.
For clove and nutmeg.
It's insane. Like I said, I don't think that a lot of us really think about where these things, you know, originated from, how special these things are to us. The little things matter. And I feel like when it comes to baking, a lot of these ingredients that go into it, it's made by certain people. And, you know, it's basically a luxury. It originated as a luxury to a lot.
Yeah. And the scary thing is, by the end of this killing spree, only 1,000 Bandanese out of 15,000 had survived. Some of them escaped the island, but a majority of them were enslaved and forced to teach the Dutch how to make nutmeg themselves. Children as young as 8 to 9 were forced to work for the Dutch. They would be whipped and go days without food and water, which is just so sad. Thinking about, you know, my little brother is like 7, just thinking about a kid that tiny, young. Just, mm-hmm. you know, them being forced to work and then being whipped and go days without water and food. It's so messed up. And just for clove and nutmeg, you know, that's, yeah. it's crazy. It's crazy how back then in those times, they used to like fight over everything, go yeah. to a war over everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, even now though, like in a lot of third world countries and, you know, other places, unfortunately, child labor is still a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me so sad because I'm like, dang, like these poor kids, like you said, like imagining like your, like his little brother, like he said, is about to be what, 7?
7.
So like just imagining a kid as young as that always breaks my heart, because I'm yeah. like, dang, like we really have it good over here in the United States. Yeah. You know, sorry guys, not to get too like deep about it, but it really does make me sad. After the Bandanese almost went extinct due to the harsh conditions that the Dutch had them in, the English, who once were partnered with the Bandanese, continued to go to war for nutmeg and cloves. But the Dutch didn't hold control over these spices for long, because in 1705 a French trader stole nutmeg seedings and planted them in French colonies. But the war had already been settled in 1667 when the English agreed to end things in exchange for an island, which the Dutch considered as useless at the time. This was actually Manhattan Island, New York, which ironically Manhattan is filled with 240 Starbucks, all selling a drink filled with their very own spices that they went to war for. Nutmeg would then later be traded to the English, and pumpkin spice would later be created in the United States of America with McCormick, which is like the world's biggest spice flavor and like the big, you know, the world's biggest spice brand, because I have so many yeah. little McCormick little things in my pantry. But they introduced a spice called pumpkin pie spices in 1934. So it only took a war and a bunch of people being murdered for us to have pumpkin spice lattes, yeah. which like...
And the crazy thing is that pumpkin alone is not what gives it the flavor.
It's the spice.
What actually gives it the flavor is, I guess in a way, it really doesn't taste like pumpkin. It just tastes like cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove.
Cloves, yeah.
So those are the main ingredients that actually make it pumpkin spice latte. Because, I mean, I'm sure you guys have tried it, but the only way you can really try a pumpkin flavor is through pumpkin pie. And it's because it has
pumpkin puree.
Nutmeg, it has yeah. all this stuff mm-hmm. to enhance the flavor.
Oh, okay.
So, because if it would have been pumpkin on its own, it really doesn't have flavor.
Yeah, it's kind of flavorless in a yeah. way. A little bit, yeah. Because, yeah, like you said, when you make a pumpkin pie, you have to add cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, all this other stuff in order
to... It just tastes like...
Like plain.
Kind of like... I was not saying that I've tasted dirt before, but yeah, that's what pumpkin...
I get you.
Like puree yeah. tastes like.
It does. Because,
you know, I've opened a can before, because at the bakery that we run, we make pumpkin empanadas during this time, and I've tasted it. It literally just tastes like, you know, when it's raining and you smell that dirt smell?
Yeah.
That's literally how pumpkin tastes.
Well, honestly, guys, after learning about more about this history, of course, I'll hold a pumpkin spice latte, like, close to my heart, because there is so yeah. much that went into just, like, these spices, and, like, it's crazy, because you don't really think about stuff like this, you know, until, like, yeah. you know, because I would have never known.
Same. I would have never known if it didn't pop up on my Facebook.
Yeah.
But we're going to also be talking about some facts, which is, did you guys know that Starbucks didn't use real pumpkin in its pumpkin spice latte until 2015? Because before, it was just filled with caramel and other artificial flavors. So they were calling pumpkin spice latte, but it had no pumpkin in it.
Like, what were you doing, Starbucks?
And then fact number two, a research was conducted to see which state in the U.S. was most obsessed with pumpkin spice lattes, and it was Washington, which was number one. Because people have a theory that Washington is the most obsessed with pumpkin spice because that's where the first Starbucks, I think, it originated from.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's just kind of weird. Like, this is a place. I would, for me, if I were to guess, I would guess New York, because it's such a big place.
Populated.
Coffee is just, like, so popular
see,
there.
But I probably wouldn't say New York exactly, because they have so many different options of coffee.
True.
I'd probably think, I don't know, I feel like it does fit Washington. It does.
Fact number three, the American Heart Association warns people to stay away from the pumpkin spice latte due to the amount of sugar it contains. On average, us humans are only supposed to consume 25 grams of sugar a day, and the pumpkin spice latte alone has 65 grams of sugar.
That's what, like...
A lot.
Yeah, that's pretty much double, right?
Yeah, 20, 40, 60, yeah, the double.
Yeah, that's a lot of grams. Honestly, though, like, you have a Coca-Cola can too, yeah. though, you know? So we consume a lot more sugar than we're supposed yeah. to either way. But for fact number four, Harvard did a research as to why so many people love pumpkin spice smells and flavors, and it says that there is something in our brain that makes us feel comfort, and it reminds us of the holidays and spending time with family, which I definitely think, like, I agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. Because my main smell, guys, towards this time of year is apple cinnamon.
Apple cinnamon.
Yeah. I am obsessed with apple cinnamon smells. And something about smelling that, like, we were literally about to walk into the grocery store, and I didn't even see it, and I smelt the apple cinnamon pine cones right away, and I told myself, like, grab me a bag because I need it.
Guys, we're literally sitting here. She has it in front of her fan.
I do.
So when the fan blows, the smell blows.
Yeah.
But to me, I just automatically think when I smell pumpkin candles, I think of October and Halloween.
Yeah.
And just fall.
I think of Thanksgiving right away. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be chilling with like a freaking pumpkin pie in one hand and a freaking slice of turkey in the other.
So I guess that's true, which is oddly weird. Like, yeah. Makes you think that are we like programmed
to know
by these smells to like prepare for the holidays? That's kind of scary if you really think about it.
I don't know. I guess it's just natural because, like, I don't know. Always as a kid, I'm like, okay, pumpkins for October and November, and then you have peppermint and apple cinnamon for like December. That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, what if, like, let's take out these smells so we can program the human brain to, like, prepare itself for the holidays. That, I don't know, maybe that might be something, because that's kind of weird.
Conspiracy theory here.
That is a conspiracy theory. But yeah, guys, my favorite drink of all time will always be the pumpkin spice latte. For you,
me,
what kind of fall? Oh, it would be the chai.
Yeah, chai is always cold foam. Yeah, with pumpkin cold foam, like a chai breve, guys, a ice cold chai breve with pumpkin cold foam and a little bit of cinnamon on top.
That's like my second favorite drink too.
That is my jam right now.
Yeah, that one's really good. But we want to ask you guys to let us know what is your favorite fall drink of all time, whether you leave it in a review or send it in our DMs. We would really want to, you know what your guys' go-to fall drink is. But we want to thank you guys for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on all pages at the Scaredy Cats, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate that. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.